with your first look at this week's college football lines. This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's Jonathan Von Tobel.
Good morning, folks, and welcome in. It is College Lines Revealed here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Usual crew, I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. Pamela Maldonado is here. Color scheme is blue today. And I can't think of a clever segue. I was going to say rightfully so, but no, it's a blustery, wintry, and cold day, but a good day out here in Las Vegas. And a good week coming up at college football, only because we get the game. Michigan, Ohio State, we'll get to that momentarily. But we do have to start with some news coming out of yesterday, of course, and that would be really, actually, big picture stuff, because Florida State lost quarterback Jordan Travis to a very unfortunate leg injury, most likely out for the season, judging by the injury and what we saw yesterday. No official word, but we can assume that that is going to be the case. So, Pam, this is the big story because, you know, Florida State does have Louisville coming up in 2 weeks in the ACC championship game. Next week, they do play Florida, which we'll get to that game too momentarily. But from a national championship perspective, of the teams that had been in the top four, Florida State was on the shakiest of grounds because they had played in the weakest conference. Their resume had been pretty weak and still is up to this point. You can nab an SEC win. You can grab a top 10 win more than likely against Louisville, depending on the Cardinals not slipping up this weekend against Kentucky. But now the question is, as we get closer to Tuesday and after we watch that transpire, what happens with Florida State from a ranking standpoint, the college football playoff rankings, if Jordan Travis is no longer going to be the starting quarterback for Florida State?
If Florida State is still winning games and winning by margin, they should not be jeopardized because your quarterback got injured. Everybody has injuries this late into the season. If you can still close out, win out at Florida, at home to Louisville, without your starting quarterback, you're rightfully, and you still happen to win the conference championship, then you rightfully deserve that spot, regardless of, hey, Jordan Travis is not there anymore.
So we saw this, I think a lot of people remember the, and this was invoked yesterday after the injury came down, we'll remember the Ohio State, right, with I believe it was Cardale Jones when they went on to win it, and he was their backup quarterback. The difference, and one of the key things too that I think helped out Ohio State's case, which Florida State can still do here, if you remember, I think it was Wisconsin that they beat 59-0 in the Big Ten championship game that year. So to your point, door's still open. I don't think when we get the rankings this next coming week, do they get knocked down? I think that's going to be more about Washington getting a big win over Oregon State as opposed to Florida State getting knocked down because they don't have Jordan Travis. By the way, right, they are 30-1 to win the national championship. But this was already a team you and I had discussed a bit. This was already a team that I thought from a power rating standpoint was already up against it, even with Jordan Travis in the lineup. Right. Now that he is out there on shaky ground, but this is going to be a big picture and a big story moving forward. If they can maintain their wins, I would say more than likely they're going to be in. But if they look shaky the next 2 weeks against Florida and in the ACC championship game against Louisville, there are some real questions as to whether or not this team does make it in over, well, let's say, an unbeaten Washington.
Right. Well, there's the argument to be made also that we talk about the Pac-12 is going to handle its own just because they're playing each other, conference championship. The same could happen where Florida State, it works itself out. There's no guarantee that they're going to beat at Florida, at home to Louisville. Could be a very tough matchup coming off their win yesterday. So it's not a guarantee that they're going to stay undefeated. And if they do stay undefeated, then the big question becomes, are you winning by margin? And are you going to be penalized if you end up with narrow wins without your starting quarterback? I don't know how the committee is going to be viewing that, but there's a potential here. 3 games left because of the conference championship that Florida State may be knocked out simply because of competition without your starting QB.
So with that, again, they do have coming up next week, it's part of rivalry week, and we get a bunch of these games. I got to tell you, you know, so there's some lopsided rivalries out there as we have looked at this point right now. And when you look ahead to next week, Florida State currently at DraftKings, a 6.5-point favorite against Florida. So initial thoughts, I mean, you made this comment when we were walking in, you believe that the backup quarterback for Florida State did not look too different. They actually looked pretty good in the win.
It was against North Alabama. How much are you going to take away from that? It is still a good Florida State defense. It's just what came to fruition yesterday was that the FSU defense stepped up. I would actually be interested in probably backing Florida. Graham Mertz is also, he exited the game with an injury. That backup in Max Brown on the first drive, 3 for 3, 39 yards, and he runs. So now there's a tale of new QB on both sides. you got to look at the underdog at home. I know that Graham Mertz definitely looked good yesterday, which is why I was on him against Missouri. But this backup quarterback, Brown, he looks highly capable. So it's an interesting matchup. I don't think I'll touch it simply because of the question marks.
And Tate Roadmaker for the Florida State Seminoles coming into that game out of Valdosta, Georgia. When you look at it in the matchup last night, ended up 13-23, 217, 9.4 yards per attempt, and two touchdowns in the win over North Alabama. And Florida State was scuffling too at the beginning. They were down 13-0 early against North Alabama before ultimately coming back in that game. We'll talk more about this obviously throughout the show. Nick Bruner coming up later in the hour is going to give us the perspective from the odds makers when it comes to, hey, what is Jordan Travis worth? What do we do with the championship odds? How do we look at it purely from a number standpoint? And then coming up in 30 minutes, Tim Murray will be with us, host of College Football Betting Podcast, where you get this feed. We'll get his thoughts on the big picture and what we're looking forward to next week. But speaking of next week, well, we're finally here. We've been waiting for it. Mm-hmm. Ohio State said, no, look ahead. We're fine. We're gonna destroy the competition in front of us. It doesn't really matter. Minnesota, you are nothing to us. Michigan flirting with disaster. Never let Maryland take a lead, but just kind of flirted with it a little bit. So we're finally here, Pam. The matchup we've been waiting for. Boy. The matchup that should ultimately decide, you would assume they're going to win the Big Ten championship, whoever's going to win this game, but should ultimately decide a playoff team. Michigan, Ohio State. We talked about this yesterday, Caesar. If I remember correctly, I think we had 5.5 yesterday. But after the results, we are sitting at DraftKings with Michigan -4 with a total of 46.5. Your initial thoughts with Michigan laying those 4 points at home?
Ohio State getting the points plus. You can attack this from three different ways. The first quarter under is back in play. It has hit in every game but two for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And that line is 9.5 or 10, which you can find. Ohio State +4. Give me the under and 46.5. I really like this matchup from a different perspective. Michigan yesterday, yes, they kind of scuffled against Maryland, but they were actually up 23-3. And the punter was absolutely on fire for a punter perspective. He pinned the Terps back at the 1 yard line. This is a very good team all around. Offensively, defensively, and now obviously special teams can come into play. But Michigan right now has some injuries coming into this. Their wide receiver one in Roman Wilson, he left in the first quarter. I don't know if he'll be available into this upcoming matchup. But more importantly, on that offensive line, they had some issues as well. Miles Hinton, he's out. He was out in the second half with his knee. And then the right tackle also left, but he did come back into the game. So now when you're looking at an offensive line that is banged up, going up against this good of a defensive front in Ohio State, who has the offensive weapons, this is my best bet already. I love it. Give me Ohio State on the money line.
I don't disagree. And here's my thing, because this is the one thing you've hit on all the points, the one that you didn't. J.J. McCarthy for two consecutive games now has not looked very good. And, and now you get this matchup here against Ohio State, a team that comes into this with a very strong defense. I think currently sitting at, double check this one, we're looking at 19th in the country in overall EPA per play, or opponent EPA per play, 19th by opponent dropback standard. So when you look at it from the perspective of, okay, if you are Michigan, I don't think you're going to be able to come into a game like this and go, let's run it on whatever consecutive amount of plays, because we're not going to need to put J.J. McCarthy in a position to have to throw the ball. I think in a matchup like this, you're still going to have to do that. J.J. McCarthy is still going to have to put the ball in the air. You're going to have some sort of passing attack. And yesterday against Maryland, you know, we could talk about, hey, you know what? You know, Maryland wasn't really in position to win that game. But McCarthy allowed them to do it. He had a brutal interception in the red zone. Yeah. That was after a dropped interception. Mm-hmm. Ultimately committed three turnover-worthy plays. Consecutive weeks of a PFF passing grade that is sub-60, which is not very good for McCarthy. And the reason why this is an issue is you could say, well, it's just two games. And ultimately, in a bigger sample size, they don't really mean anything. And I would agree with that in general. But the fact that you have looked at these last two games, one against very good competition defensively in Penn State, the other in a game in which you had to open it up just a little bit more to get some sort of offense because the other team was sticking around. When you were forced in some of these situations, it has not looked very good. And that is kind of the worry. I think that's been the worry for the Michigan Wolverines and part of these questions that we haven't had answered, which is when you face an opponent that forces you to actually open up your offense a bit more, what does your offense look like with J.J. McCarthy? I think the last 2 weeks have kind of, now I'm going to not say fully answered the question, but at least given more conversation around the fact that, like, hey, I think we're kind of right in wondering whether or not this is going to be a legitimate problem for them when they get into these contests.
And because McCarthy could be a question mark, now that we've seen it in back-to-back weeks where running back Blake Corum actually came back into the mix. This was his first time. He's had back-to-back 95-plus yards rushing games. He hadn't done that since week three. But just because he has a yardage, he's not really effective. He still sits outside the top 60 when it comes to yards after the contact. In back-to-back weeks, he's only averaging 4 yards per carry, even though he is getting back-to-back 100-yard rushing games. So I'm still not convinced yet that he's at the talent level, elite level that we saw from him last year, where he was number one running back in nearly every statistical category. This year, he's outside of the top 70 in most efficiency metrics. So now you're going to have a little bit of question marks on both sides. Ohio State just has a really good defense, and at least we talk about it every week. They have multiple playmakers now on that offense. I mean, they are humming. They're slow out of the gate still. They're 13-0. They had a slow 13-0 halftime lead yesterday, but you have a running back in Trevann Henderson. He had 150 yards. That's his third 100-yard rushing game in his last five. You have wide receiver Marvin Harrison, who is still in the talks for maybe being a Heisman candidate. 3 receptions, 30 yards, 1 touchdown. Another angle that could come into this is Ohio State sat their players yesterday in the second half of the third quarter and all of the fourth quarter. So extra rest could maybe work towards their favor when Michigan yesterday had to scuffle all four quarters in order to sneak out the win.
Here's the other question. I'm going to ask Tim this when he joins us in about 15 minutes. You go back to last year, and this is about the total. What kind of game will you get? Because I think it's easy to look at this and go, oh, under, of course. You go back to last year, it was 45-23. Michigan had touchdowns of 69 yards, 75 yards, 45 yards, 75 yards, 85 yards. They had 4 touchdowns of at least 42 yards, or excuse me, 69 yards. That was a problem, and it was mainly what made the difference in that game last year. You wonder what the scheme looks like, and without Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines, if you're able to scheme up those explosive plays yet again against Ohio State, because that was the big difference last year, 45-23, but it was the explosive plays. You got killed by those explosive plays if you were Ohio State last year.
And this year, though, I just don't see Michigan having that same explosive style to them based off of the talent they have right now.
All right, let's take our break. When we come back, we have plenty of games left to get to for next week, including, do I say that? It's like it's a running bit. Why not? A big one in the Pac-12. It's on a Friday night, though. Can Oregon stay alive in a race for the college football playoff? We discuss when we come back on College Lines Revealed.
Is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make sure you check out all of your options up on the website at vsin.com. One of the more popular ones, the betting splits page. You can check out the money and bets for every single game and see, hey, you know what? Money doesn't match the public opinion or more. It's one of the many tools that the website has for you. And they're updated every 5 minutes, so you know that they're up to date, courtesy of DraftKings. Check it out today at vsin.com. That is vsin.com. And if you're not a subscriber, check out all your options at vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up later today on that beautiful website, my opening lines piece, where we look at the early games for next week, give out a best bet or two, and get ready to go for the week that we'll be in college football. All right, Pam, we teased it. Let's talk about it. We get a big one on Friday, Black Friday. You a big Black Friday person? Do you go shopping? You ever checked it out?
I have not been into a shopping store in God knows how long.
A shopping store?
You never Amazon. I do everything. I am like the least Target person. You gave me like people and chaos. I'd rather Amazon.
I went on a Black Friday trip one time. It was when I got an Xbox like many years ago. But it was chaos. It was absolute chaos. But we do get a full slate of games on Friday. One of those games that we're going to get, and it's going to be the game that we're going to be watching that day. Outside of, I'll say Air Force Boise State, but we'll get to the reasons why coming up a little bit later. Oregon opens up as a 14-point favorite over Oregon State in the Civil War on Friday out there in Eugene. Total opens up at 59.5 off the board over there at DraftKings. So Oregon State loses a tough one yesterday, which, by the way, here you go. We had a bet. I got an energy drink. You got chocolate. You get chocolate because I took the Oregon State Beavers in that matchup against Washington. By the way, touch and go there for a little bit for the Huskies, because I think at one point into the fourth quarter, they had run a total of like 12 plays. They were definitely keeping them off the field. But Penix Jr. and company get it done. So I don't think this is not one of those where if you're Oregon State, what's the mentality like? This is a big rivalry spot. I don't think you have to worry really much about focus. Yes, they did lose to Washington, knocking themselves out of Pac-12 contention. They were still mathematically alive going into that game last night. But You're going to be focused for a big boy. You're going to be focused for, again, one of these teams that was the drivers behind breaking apart what is now the Pac-2. So there's going to be a lot of motivation here. The question just is, the buzzsaw that is Oregon, which, by the way, I think they might still be scoring touchdowns against Arizona State. We say this every week about Oregon, and I will continue to say it, Pam. They are ready to go every week. There is no letdown. There is no, like, there is no pause. There's nothing. They know what they need to do week in and week out. Do you want to look at this? Do you want to lay 14? Do you want to take 14? Because I would be so inclined personally looking at laying 14 with Oregon, only because with Oregon State last night, you at least had a very key weakness that you could pick on if you were Oregon State, which is a very poor front seven that you could run the ball against and keep the offense off the field. And as I mentioned, in the second half, they did that to Washington to a certain extent. However, against Oregon, there is no real massive weakness to pick on here if you're Oregon State. And with a team like Oregon still having plenty to play for here, I still think that this is a matchup where I'd rather be on the side of the big favorite. By the way, for those who don't know, Oregon has yet to clinch their spot in the Pac-12 championship. If they lose and Arizona wins, the Fighting Jed Fishes are into the Pac-12 championship game. So still plenty on the line for the Ducks.
I'm in full agreement with you. This is Oregon laying the 14 or pass. And I'm actually surprised that you would be on that side since you are such a big believer in Oregon State. I've fallen off with him. It's Bo Nix. He's going to absolutely roll in this matchup. 22 of 27, 381 yards, 6 touchdowns in the first half. It was beautiful to see. He made everything look so easy. And this Beavers offense, they struggled against Arizona, which, no offense to Arizona, we've been high on them all season long, but it is still a step down from what Oregon can produce. Closer scoreline than expected. It was, they only lost by 3, but 7 points of that was generated from garbage points. He went 16 of 30 against Arizona, and it really comes down to the quarterback situation. 56% completion on the season. DJU, like, if you have that inconsistency, you're going to struggle, especially against Oregon when Oregon is firing on all cylinders. You have Bo Nix, you have a solid running game in Bucky Irving. Like, they can hit you from all angles, play at pace, slow down the game. It's really entirely in their control. The Ducks defense is going to stop DJU in his tracks.
Yeah, I mean, it's DJU, it's Damian Martinez, it's this running game. Like, if you look at it, it's a very complete Oregon team that is, as we've talked about before, really undervalued in the way that they can play. 6th best defense in the country in terms of EPA per play by opponents, 6th best against opponent dropbacks. So to your point, DJU, very heavy on play action and big chunk plays, but not there consistently when it comes to completion percentage. So it does paint a picture of, you know, maybe you come out plucky in the first quarter because you're up for this, but Oregon has been ready for almost every single opponent they faced, even in the loss, of course, on Washington, as we know, 3 yards away from winning that game against the Huskies. So I think when you look at just overall, it's a team that I would trust in a spot like this to win by margin, because you could foresee a scenario which, at the very least, Oregon State offensively, I think, has some trouble with this Oregon State defense.
It's not just trusting the team, it's also trusting the coaching situation. Dan Lanning, he has made it a point almost weekly of like, hey, I know how good my team is. How many points do you want me to put up on the board? And I will match that and then add on an extra touchdown. Mm-hmm. He's that type of coach. So now you're going up against a rival team in what is the best season that the Ducks have had in how long. He's going to want to put one on.
So how about this dynamic? So we go back to last night. Oregon, let me get the final stat line here. Bo Nix in this game against Arizona State, as you mentioned, 24-29, 404 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, 13.9 yards per attempt. Also added 7 yards on the ground that had 10 yard scramble. He was minus 200 going into that. His odds worsened to win the Heisman after that performance. Why? Well, because Jaden Daniels went absolutely nuclear. And I think this is part of, I think, it was Tom Fornelli, I think, over at CBS Sports, I give credit for this, which he put out there on their show Cover 3. But essentially it was, Chip Kelly really wants to coach a Heisman winner. And the LSU is doing everything it possibly can to get this Heisman trophy to Jaden Daniels. They're leaving him in games. They're running up scores. They want to do everything possible to get this thing done. And I am very interested, because you're going to get this dynamic of team success on a national scale, Oregon, versus individual success at an insane rate, LSU, and how that works, because Jaden Daniels' numbers are extremely hard to ignore. Oh, yeah. When you're talking about 3,500 yards passing, 36 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions, and 1,000 yards on the ground, along with another 10 touchdowns. So we're talking about nearly 50 total touchdowns and nearly 5,000 yards of total offense. this is going to be an incredible race in which I think Jaden Daniels is still going to have a good shot. The question just is, what do the voters think? Because I think there's a lot of people like, no, I don't think so. We've lost too many games. The numbers are going to be too hard to ignore. This is pretty fascinating.
You mentioned right at the start that it was that Jaden Daniels went nuclear. He is doing this every week. Yep. The way that I'm judging this is if you turn on any network channel, name them all, whoever is up on behind the desk, which quarterback are they talking about? It is Jaden Daniels. Everybody is in love. We are all watching. We're not watching them. Obviously, they're not going into the playoff. They're not going to make it into the title game. But we are watching simply because of Daniels. I can't, as good of a team Oregon is, I honestly don't really hear many people talking about them outside of, Pac-12, but nobody's really expanding on Oregon as from like a bigger picture, at least when it purely from a quarterback perspective. It's Jaden Daniels who is getting so much recognition and so much hype because it is entirely warranted. He is the fourth FBS quarterback ever to have 1,000 rushing yards in a regular season, passing and rushing. The other three were Johnny Manziel in 2012. He won the Heisman. Lamar Jackson, 2016, 2017. Jackson won in 2016. And then Jalen Hurts in 2019. He finished runner-up. So Jaden Daniels, he has the playbook right now to go ahead. He has the resume to go ahead and knock it out.
First number we saw for LSU in this matchup, because they do get Texas A&M next week. LSU currently right now an 11.5-point favorite over Texas A&M. The number we saw initially was 9.5. So here's the thing. I think from the perspective when it comes to betting, you could sit here and say, hey, LSU minus 11.5. They're going to try to get Daniels as much as he possibly can. I think that's more looking at player-based props when it comes to Jaden Daniels. You can go alternate lines. You can go four-plus touchdowns. You can go rushing yards. Alternate rushing yards, whatever it is, all of the options that are available. I think I'm looking to back more of those as opposed to running out and laying a number with LSU. They're going to keep their offense out there for as long as possible for Daniels to have success, but that gears itself more toward Daniels and his props going over as opposed to laying a number with LSU because you still have that defense out there.
Or also taking the over, because if he is having another 400-yard passing game, another like 8 total scores on the ground, team total over, full game over, and then definitely hitting on those player props as well. Yeah, going for max. If they lay a number on 280, 300 passing, whatever, take the ladder, 320, 340, 350, 360, because he's going to hit those.
Yep.
He has the potential to hit those. If Ole Miss and the Rebels can do that with Jackson Dart, so can Jaden Daniels.
It's going to be an interesting topic to bring up with Tim Murray, who's going to join us on the other side. On Tuesday, he was very upset with me when I was trying to tell him, like, it could happen, man. And he was like, nope, we're a betting network. Nope, it's not going to happen. He's not going to win it. I think it's more of a reality than Tim thinks. So I wonder if yesterday changed his mind a bit. We'll have to ask him about that.
I think a lot of people are in the same boat as Tim because they're wondering is anybody going to be sitting here watching LSU against Texas A&M? But everyone is still keeping their eyes on Oregon because they're still in the Pac-12 title race, still in the playoff race.
He's also going to get an extra week to play. We should note that,
exactly.
Right? Because Jaden Daniels is not going to be in conference championship week.
Opportunities for Jaden Daniels to pack on resume builders, they're already out, essentially.
Silver lining?
Yeah.
There's also not an opportunity to mess things up.
Exactly.
Right? Kind of like Ohio State last year when it came to the conference championship weekend. Hey, we didn't lose. Like, yeah, well, because you didn't play. Still got him in. All right, we'll take our break. When we come back, Tim Murray, host of Eason Primetime in the College Football Betting Podcast, will join us, get his thoughts on Jaden Daniels and LSU, but more importantly, get his thoughts on the next week of college football and the big matchups, Oregon State and Oregon and more when we come back here on College Lines Revealed.
College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the apps, the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Jonathan Von Tobel, Pamela Maldonado here on College Lines Revealed. We welcome in Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the host of the College Football Betting Podcast. It's a mouthful, but I remembered it. Tim, it's good to talk to you. By the way, good shout. Tim told me off the air, hey, check out the video of Molly McGrath getting absolutely destroyed by Gatorade. Hilarious. And the fact that you had to get on a plane after that, even funnier. So let's talk a little bit. I wanted to bring over the conversation we were just having, Tim, because we had a passionate conversation about this earlier this week. After yesterday, has your mind changed at all about Jaden Daniels and his potential to win the Heisman Trophy?
A little, but not a ton, because we still have to remember this. And, you know, congrats on beating Georgia State. I mean, you know, that's a solid, mediocre Sun Belt team. And we know what LSU's doing. And you know, we've had plenty of discussions where if it were properly voted on, Jaden Daniels would be the runaway and he would be a massive favorite in the betting market. But the betting market's not dummies. And there's a reason why his numbers sit where they are. And let's not pretend like Bo Nix was some bum yesterday, 400 plus yards, 6 touchdown passes in a obliteration of Arizona State. But you got to remember this, right? So LSU has one game left. They will not be playing conference championship weekend. It is a home game against Texas A&M at noon Eastern on Saturday, kind of in the mix of, I think there's a big game noon Eastern. Let me see. Oh yeah. Ohio State, Michigan's going on at that same time. On the other hand, Bo Nix will be playing at 8:30 Eastern on Friday, all by himself, essentially, on Fox against their arch rival, where they're a 2-touchdown favorite now. And then, assuming they win that game, and if he wants to win the Heisman Trophy, they've got to win that game, he's got another Friday night, all by himself game against Washington. So I still think Bo Nix is probably in the driver's seat, but that said, I mean, Jaden Daniels, the numbers are hard to deny. And I do think there's going to be a really strong push from media members on television and on the radio and whatever about Jaden Daniels, because his numbers are outrageous. But look, I sit with a 30-1 ticket on Bo Nix. I'm happy where we sit right now. You know, and he's got two really high profile games, and it's going to be hard for me, guys. If Bo Nix and Oregon win the championship and he continues to put up the gaudy numbers, the Pac-12 championship, for him not to win this award, it should he? I don't know. Probably not. Jaden Daniels should win the award, but we live in a world where we talk about betting, not, you know, what should happen. And I think Bo Nix has got a really good opportunity with two massive high profile games still to come.
Speaking of high profile game, the one that probably nobody is paying attention to. Yes, we all are. It's Lane Kiffin in the Egg Bowl, a tradition like no other. Ole Miss is laying 13.5 on the road, but Will Rogers is back in the mix. What do you make of this matchup? Should we expect some fireworks?
Yeah, I mean, Mississippi State obviously firing their head coach just a week ago. You know, I love that this has continued to be just the Thanksgiving standalone year after year. I've had a hard read on Mississippi this year. I don't think they're that good. Nope. You know, all things considered, you know, ranking, you know, comparing them to the elites. But I have a hard time, Pam, laying double digits in rivalry games like this, knowing how important this game is for both sides. So that said, you know, taking the points with Mississippi State, you know, look at Ole Miss when they played Georgia Tech earlier this year, Ole Miss when they played Tulane earlier this year. Ole Miss kind of has a Penn State syndrome where they find ways to cover. And, you know, plenty of people down in that state are going to be hoping that, you know, Ole Miss gets the cover. So I probably wouldn't lay it, but I'm not racing to take it either. Like you said, Pam, I am intrigued though with Will Rogers returning there for the Bulldogs, and knowing that all they have left is to ruin the season, so to speak, for Ole Miss. Obviously, they're not going to a bowl game.
Tim Murray with us, VSiN host, College Football Betting Podcast. Give it a download. Fantastic rotating host of guests, including Tim himself. All right, let's go to the big one. And I'm going to get you out of this habit since we're on together twice a week. It's 9 a.m. Pacific. It's not at 12 Eastern. Ohio State and Michigan, Tim. 4-point favorite. The Wolverines are at home. Total of 46.5. What do you make of this, and where do you think you might go?
Kind of like, I think my first inclination is under in this one at 46.5, key number being 45. We'll see where the market goes. You know, the two best sides of the ball are Ohio State's defense and Michigan's defense in this game. And I know, you know, we talked about it, JVT, on Friday's show, the numbers for both of these teams heading into the game and how they do against the spread. And I know Ohio State ultimately covered. Michigan did not. You know, but I think you look at the game plan that Michigan had against Penn State, which was just rely on the ground. And we've seen Kyle McCord in these bigger games, you know, against Penn State, against Notre Dame. You know, it's been a slog. So let's just use a couple data points real quickly. Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame. You know, those are probably based off of point spreads. Those are the three closest games all three of these two teams have had this year. All those games went under. So I think my first gut feel would be to go under the total here because I think these defenses are really, really good. And while Ohio State has Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think Michigan's going to be letting Marvin Harrison go nuts out there. So I'm curious, you know, how much Ohio State trusts Kyle McCord on the road, right? I mean, I was there in person in South Bend. They weren't trying to chuck it down the field a ton against Notre Dame's defense. And you can make a strong argument Michigan's defense is the best or one of the best in the country. So I think first feel would be under in this game. And I think there might be some conservative nature to both of these quarterbacks. I mean, heck, J.J. McCarthy against Penn State, as we all know, did not attempt one pass, official pass. He threw one and it was a defensive pass interference.
And let's look at the Big 12 because that's my conference. And you, yeah, right before you hopped on, you were talking about Texas Tech and a bad beat that you had with them. Well, now Texas is laying 13.5 at home to Tech. What do you make of this matchup? And more importantly, the bigger picture, what do you think is the most likely outcome without Jonathan Brooks? Who's going to make it into the Big 12 championship?
Well, hopefully for my future, let's hope that Hookem can still make this thing happen.
For us, Tim, we would love Texas, Oklahoma State for us.
That's fine. And then set up a nice middle opportunity. Oklahoma State loses by three and I win both my bets. I mean, let's make it all happen. Pam, I kind of go back to, the situation of not wanting to lay massive points in a rivalry game in Texas. They covered yesterday. Well done by the Longhorns. I think most to the chagrin of a good chunk of hosts here on the network, thinking that Iowa State would kind of hang in there. And I guess when a extra point gets returned for 2 points, it's not your day. I still think Texas is the superior team, even without Jonathan Brooks. Now, will I say that if they make the college football playoff? No, probably not. I think that's where you'll feel the loss of Jonathan Brooks more. We look at the Big 12 this year and, it hasn't been all that impressive. I'll say this, and Pam, I'm curious your thoughts. So Oklahoma State plays BYU. I don't know if I've seen a number yet on that. It's going to be big. BYU stinks. Even though they played well last weekend against Oklahoma, would have preferred them to play well against Iowa State, but we move on.
Okie State's laying 17, Tim.
All right. So, Pam, if you're a Texas fan, right, I have a Texas future. Oklahoma State losing would be very bad because I think Kansas State would beat Texas. I really do in a rematch. I think Oklahoma wouldn't be great. So I think Longhorn fans, in addition to taking care of business against the Red Raiders, which is the obvious, I think you're big Pokes fans this weekend to get Oklahoma State into the championship game, because I think that's a pretty good matchup. I don't think Oklahoma State has a ton of athletes that can exploit Texas. I think if it's Kansas State, I would not like that matchup. So as a Texas futures holder, I am very much cheering for the Pokes to get in to the Big 12 championship and to take care of business against BYU this weekend.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement with that. I'm interested in Ollie Gordon, but K-State, you said it and you nailed it, that is going to be a big test for Texas, especially. And I said it in the beginning of the season that Oklahoma had the huge benefit of not having to face them. But Texas does, unfortunately. So that's interesting.
Hey, Tim, before we get you out of here, last 60 seconds, a little bit less than that. Oregon, 14-point favorite over Oregon State.
Yeah, let's have my Bo Nix future. Let's rock and roll here. This is Oregon State. I was pretty disappointed by the performance last night. I know it was raining and whatnot. I think the tricky part for the Beavs in this spot, they won last year running the ball down Oregon's throat. I don't think they're gonna be able to do that on a regular basis here. It's a pretty inflated number for sure. Oregon State, last game, last Civil War, right? So you've got that motivation factor and all of that. But man, Oregon right now, guys, they really do look like a well-oiled machine. I think they're a top three team in the country. So let's go Ducks, quack, quack.
All right, Tim, good to talk to you, man. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, guys, appreciate it.
See you later. Tim Murray again, VSiN Primetime and College Football Betting Podcast. I also don't know if he's going to be there on Tuesday. I can't remember. All right, we'll take our break. We come back. Let's get the behind-the-counter look on this when we talk to Nick Bruner from DraftKings.
We'll be right back.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betsgiving is back starting Wednesday. All of VSiN's hosts, writers, and analysts are competing in a week-long competition to see who is the best bettor at VSiN. Follow all the bets, leaderboard at VSiN.com, or go to DK Sportsbook app, select social, then betting groups, where you'll be able to join our Betsgiving group to follow the action. Yeah, last year, on the last day, as a long shot, it was the Monday night Steelers-Colts game. And to win the thing, I put in an exact score prop. It was 23-17. I can't remember who won, but the final score actually ended up being 24-17, so I missed it off by a point. Would have won. Ah, if only. I'll win this year, though, I promise. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the college lines that are upcoming this week. Nick Bruner's with us, DraftKings trading manager. Nice enough to give us some time here. So, Nick, we appreciate it. We'll start with the big stuff, and then, of course, we'll look ahead to what potentially could be a very good Pac-12 championship game. Yeah, both of them will be, even if Arizona gets in there. But let's start with the big one. Michigan, Ohio State. How much did this last week, in terms of Michigan scuffling around with Maryland, change the number that is hung up today at DraftKings, if at all?
Hey guys, nice talking to you. Happy to be here. The line definitely was affected yesterday with the results. Both the Michigan-Maryland game and the Ohio State-Minnesota game, I thought it's worth mentioning as well. Like, Ohio State really dominated Minnesota in that game and just basically in the second half just ended it. The disparity in that box score was very, very telling, I thought. As far as Michigan and Maryland, yeah, there were times where Maryland looked like they had a chance to come back and win that game outright. So before the week, we hung up a look ahead line on Wednesday of 6, and now we're, as of Sunday morning, we're at 4. So, you know, that line is getting closer and closer to telling you that these two teams are pretty equal on a neutral field. So, you know, let's see how this line trades the rest of the week. It's going to obviously be a very big game in terms of handle, and everybody's going to be watching. And I expect a lot of money coming out on both sides on this one, guys.
Really quick, because you mentioned being pretty close to equals and a neutral. So how much would a home field for Michigan be? Because I think you can make the case it's pretty strong, right? Like just over 3 points. So what's there, like a half point difference, if that, between these two teams?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, home field is a big discrepancy amongst people in the market. Some people think it, you know, no home field is worth over a field goal. I tend to disagree. I kind of think Michigan home field is one of the tops in the country, and I would, you know, I think it's worth at least a field goal. Yeah.
Nick, Jaden Daniels, now the new Heisman favorite, literally doing everything he can to try to boost his resume. How much of that does it go into play for LSU laying 11.5 at home to A&M, if at all, at least whether with the spread or even with the total?
Right. I watched that LSU-Georgia State game, and it was very telling to me that Brian Kelly and Jaden Daniels had all intentions of running that score up and getting as many touchdowns on his resume as possible. It's clear to me that they're really out there trying to win the Heisman with a couple of weeks here to play. As far as the line, I think it's getting quite big at getting close to 2 touchdowns. I wasn't expecting that, honestly, guys. I thought Texas A&M has been one of the betting market's darlings throughout the year. And without anything significant to play for LSU outside of the Heisman, I think this line might creep down toward the A&M Aggies here, getting close to 13 points. So we'll see how that plays out. Max Johnson didn't play last week for A&M. Is he going to be back? You know, a lot of unknowns in that game.
Nick Bruner with a senior trader over at DraftKings. So let's talk about Bo Nix's team then. Oregon, they get the Civil War on Friday. You guys are putting up 2 touchdowns here. Where do you expect this number to go? Because, you know, we've talked about this and alluded to it. The Dan Lanning has had them prepared every week. It seems like nothing has really been too big for them. And outside of the number getting a little high against USC, this team's pretty much covering every single week, Nick, too. So what do you make of this big rivalry spot between Oregon State and Oregon?
Yeah, and disappointing that Oregon State couldn't crack through and hold on versus Washington yesterday. And like you said, Oregon has just been one-way traffic in terms of the line and the results. So I do anticipate more Oregon spread support, and who knows, maybe this line gets even higher than 2 touchdowns. It's because, like you said, who's out there looking to fade the Oregon Ducks right now? Every single week you just upgrade them and they just keep rolling. So I anticipate more of that, more of the same there.
How about looking at a matchup that has two question marks at quarterbacks for both sides, Florida State with Jordan Travis, Florida with Graham Mertz? What adjustments had to be made on either side of those offenses, and which one made the bigger difference possibly being out for this matchup?
Great question. Very tough question. And one that we debated here in the office in terms of what this line should be. Right now, we're sitting at Florida State -6.5. A ton of changes went into this line because obviously the quarterbacks, you know, maybe make the biggest part of the line or the single most important data point. And losing Jordan Travis is a big downgrade to Florida State, one that the committee has to look at and kind of whether they want to admit it or not, make a determination. If this team goes undefeated, do we take them with the quarterback play that we're seeing? You know, obviously Rodemaker could go out there and play great and earn that. But he's going to have to prove it. Florida losing Mertz, I don't think is as big of a downgrade as Florida State losing Jordan Travis. I'd like to make that clear. I think that's one thing that could be a talking point is, you know, which quarterback means more. I definitely think losing Jordan Travis means more. But yeah, right now we're sitting at Florida State -6.5, and I'm definitely interested to see where the betting market takes this number.
Nick, what did you guys do with Florida State in terms of championship odds? Because those are pretty long odds now for a team that, if they win their next two games, is going to be undefeated, a conference champ, and you would think into the playoff. But what did you guys do with the championship odds for Florida State?
Yeah, great question. Because yeah, if they went out, well, you're going to take the SEC champ, you're going to take the Big Ten champ. You might end up coming down to what if Florida State wins, what if Washington wins out. Yep. You might end up having to choose in between the two. So that's a very tricky situation there. Right now at DraftKings, we're sitting at Florida State at 30-1 odds to win it all. So guys, it could be seen as, you were getting what, maybe I think 10-1. It was closer to 10-1 last week. So now triple that price. You didn't lose a game. The opportunity is all still in front of you. So, you know, I could see people thinking 30-1 is a little bit of a value, but now you have to understand there's a debate of whether they even get in now. So it's really hard to handicap and price, you know, what a committee's thinking, because we don't know, obviously.
Nick, Clemson has been one of my favorite teams to be betting as of late because now they're on a roll with that offense. They're laying 7-2 South Carolina on the road. Have you finished making your adjustments to them, or are you still adjusting them week after week?
Clemson, definitely a tricky team to get right. More so lately, it seems that Dabo has that offense playing better, and they have a lot of energy. They're executing out there. As you know, notice they've covered the last few. I think this could be a tricky game for them on the road going to South Carolina, who has all year they've struggled to protect their quarterback Spencer Rattler. But they did get it done against Kentucky, and Clemson, with the offensive struggles that they can show almost every week, even though they eventually get it done, I could see South Carolina giving them a tough game and this being tooth and nail.
Nick Bruner with a senior trader over at DraftKings. All right, let's talk about a conference that has a team that is one of the best in the country in terms of covered numbers, but it's also one of the few conferences that doesn't have teams in the conference championship. You get Air Force at Boise State on Friday, Nick, and you get UNLV taking on San Jose State. And it's interesting because these are some teams with some fluctuating power ratings, right? San Jose State has been winning in covered numbers and looking pretty good. On the other end, you get Boise State, who fired Andy Avalos, and looked pretty good in a matchup where the market really didn't want much of them against Utah State. Have you guys handled these two matchups and specifically a UNLV team that continues to win and cover by margin?
What Barry Odom has done for UNLV, man, it really needs to be talked about more. It just completely seems like he's turned around that program, and I don't think anybody in their best estimate would have put UNLV in the spot they're in now with a chance to potentially make the Mountain West Conference championship game. In terms of the Boise State Air Force game, we opened that line today at Boise State -4.5, and we took some quick, sharp money on the favorite there, and now we're sitting at Boise State -5.5, and it's just amazing what has happened to the Air Force team. Turnovers have really plagued them recently. I want to say they've had like 12 or 13 turnovers in their last three games. I think they had 7 versus Army. I think there's some turnover regression that has caught up to Air Force. They've also had some issues with the quarterback health. Not that they're out there throwing the ball very much anyway. But yeah, we've seen some money fading Air Force the last couple of weeks, actually, guys.
Nick, we appreciate some time today as always, sir. Thank you very much.
Hey, Nick.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it. Yeah, Air Force, I think, is one of the more fascinating stories. 3 weeks ago, Pam, one of the highest power-rated teams in the country. and then now, all of a sudden, they've lost three straight, and they have to fight for their lives. And you're taking on Boise State, who, as I mentioned, I mean, a lot of people thought firing of Andy Avalos was going to be a bad thing. Turns out it's been great, and they go out there and wipe the floor with Utah State yesterday. They got some really sharp action on the window this last Sunday. So, fascinating situation. We're going to have to go through some of these conferences at some point, too, because we have quite a few conferences that have yet to even decide both teams in their conference championship game. We'll run through scenarios, big line moves, and more in the second hour of College Lines Revealed.
With your first look at this week's college football lines, this is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the sports betting network. Here's Jonathan Von Tobel.
All right, folks, we got the second hour on tap. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll have the biggest line moves of the day. Coming up in 5 minutes, Circa enters the fray. We'll get all of their numbers for the first half of the board. Second half of the board pops up in about 10. So, as we wait for the entire board to populate and see some of these discrepancies pop up, Pam thought it was a good idea as we enter what is... How about this? Our journey together. It has been long and quick. The last week of the regular season in college football. Very excited for this. So I wanted to go over some of the scenarios that we have for conference championship games because motivation is kind of a big deal when it comes to this last week, right? You have rivalries, but also you have teams still playing for Stuff Bowl eligibility, obviously one of them, but spots in conference championships games. So as of now, we have... I'll call it five conference championship games are set. One of them actually is not officially set, but it's just down to two teams who play each other this weekend. So Conference USA, New Mexico State will take on Liberty. Scratch that off the board. That is our conference championship in CUSA. The MAC, Miami, Ohio, will take on Toledo. That is your conference championship game. SEC, Alabama versus Georgia. Louisville clinched their spot in the ACC championship game yesterday with their win over Miami. And in the Big Ten, Iowa will take on the winner of Michigan, Ohio State. Very cut and dry. Simple. In terms of conference championships that only have one team clinched, we have two conferences there. In the Sun Belt, Troy is still awaiting its opponent. That will come down to Appalachian State or Coastal Carolina. Appalachian State in the driver's seat there. The Pac-12 has Washington, the team still alive there. Oregon and our fighting Jed Fishes. Arizona still alive there. Oh. Obviously, Arizona would need an Oregon loss, and they would need to win this weekend against Arizona State.
Yes.
That are the two conferences that have one team settled. Then you get to the conference championships that are still wide open. Neither spot has been decided. The most obvious one is, of course, the Big 12. Texas and Oklahoma State, simple enough, win and you're in.
Right.
Very easy. Two teams are also still alive for this thing, in Oklahoma and West Virginia. Also, I believe Kansas State can still get in as well, but there's a bunch of different tiebreakers that they have to overcome. So let's go over this. The tiebreakers for the Big 12, as it stands, as I mentioned, Texas clinches a spot with a win over Texas Tech. Simple enough. Oklahoma State clinches a spot with a win over BYU. That would create the three-way tie for second, Oklahoma and Kansas State. But Cowboys, of course, beat both of those teams head-to-head. Thus, with the league's updated tiebreaker, Okie State would be in. Oklahoma clinches a spot with a win over TCU, a Texas win over Texas Tech, and a BYU win over Oklahoma State. Kansas State clinches a spot with a win over Iowa State, a TCU win over Oklahoma, and a BYU win over Oklahoma State. So K-State has to have a lot happen. A lot happen in this last week of the season to get that thing done. And if Texas Tech beats Texas, then you get the four-way tie, which is just absolute madness. It's going to be unlikely that you get down to that point,
right?
But that's where it stands for the Big 12. So simple enough, it does seem the odds in the favor of Texas and Okie State facing one another in a Big 12 championship.
Correct, especially for this week, for them to be calling for upsets. They're both double-digit favorites. Texas on the road, and then, of course, Oklahoma State at home. We did see Oklahoma State really just falter that one game where Ollie Gordon had, 30 rushing yards against Iowa State. That was...
Against UCF.
Yeah. That was a big oops. They had offensive line issues that time, but yesterday's game, they cleaned those up, and Ollie Gordon was right back in the mix. He had 165 rushing yards, 3 first half touchdowns. So I don't foresee either of these teams being upset. Now, will they cover double digit spreads? That's a different thing. But for calling them to lose outright is a big ask. And Texas, even though they didn't have Jonathan Brooks, CJ Baxter filled in that role very nicely. Quinn Ewers, he looked okay. And that defense is still doing what it needs to keep its team alive. So I don't foresee it will be Texas versus Oklahoma State in my eyes.
And as I mentioned in the first hour as well, Mountain West is still open as well. UNLV wins. They host the Mountain West Championship game. Air Force, Boise State, San Jose State, all still alive. Neat part about the Mountain West, all four of those teams will play one another. UNLV plays San Jose State this weekend. Air Force plays Boise State. So those results will decide who wins and who hosts the Mountain West Championship game. So with that, with those kind of out of the way, let's talk about the numbers that are starting to pop up here on the board when it comes to this coming week of football. Now, let's talk about the big one on Friday. Civil War, Oregon State, Oregon. Circa enters the fray here. They have a total of 58.5, but they open under that 14. They're sitting at 13. So this is where you get that decider, what the market shapers want to do here. Will they push this up to this key number, Pam, or will it just sit under this key number and will Oregon State take some action? This will be something interesting because at the very least, odds makers, you can at least tell some sort of an opinion, and to open it up under the key-ish number of 14 would tell you that there is some belief here in the Oregon State Beavers from Circa's standpoint.
Correct. And that's why you shop around, because one book had it open at 14, right on the number, and this is opening at 13. Still got to give me, you give me the best number with Oregon, I'm going to take it. Lane the 13, Bo Nix on a roll.
Sorry, I got to say, thank you, Caesar, for sending this to me, too, because we have the Sun Belt. I mentioned that as Coastal Carolina and Appalachian State is still alive. And I did misread that, too, by the way. I think I said Appalachian State controls the destiny. It's the Chanticleers who do it. And Old Dominion still available in terms of mathematical probability that they're going to play in that game. So as we sit and look right now, Oregon, by the way, as we're talking, goes up to 14 here. it is an interesting question. We should ask next week. We got to ask our oddsmakers friends this about this, because I've always wondered, right, if you're sitting, like if you're Circa right now, as we talk about, you're opening the number, and you know people bet your openers, and you're taking limited action, right? Your sides, your limits are sitting around $1,000, so it's not like you're taking massive action here. You're letting those guys come in $1,000, pop shape the market. But like the question would be, why open up under the key-ish number of 14 when there's just going to be groups that come in and lay it because it's under 14? You know what I'm saying?
Like, right. That is a good question.
It's always the question of like why you would open up in that regard. So right. That's always a question. But we're up to 14 there, and the total already up to 60.5 after opening up 58.5. So lean to the over from the market, and at least the side getting bet up from 13 to 14 in that matchup between these two. Let's talk about one game that I think is actually pretty interesting from a spot standpoint. I want to go to an ACC-SEC rivalry. Kentucky taking on Louisville. Right now, as I'm talking, Circa opens up 7, gets bet up to 8 with a total of 51.5. Over at DraftKings, you're sitting at 7. This is a rivalry spot, Pam, but Louisville has nothing to play for. They are in the ACC championship game. I shouldn't say nothing, but they are in the ACC championship game. They're looking ahead to what is a very big game for them to win a conference championship under Jeff Brohm the first time, his first year there at his alma mater. You do wonder what this is like from a focus standpoint when, in reality, you would think you're getting ready to potentially upend a team that just lost its starting quarterback, by the way, too. This is, I think, a fascinating spot, given that I think it would be easy for Louisville. Yes, it's a rivalry. But to kind of look past this and spend a vast majority of your time getting ready for a conference championship the next week against what could be, actually, I think already was, even with Jordan Travis, a potential, we'll call it, not fragile, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word, but a vulnerable opponent in the ACC championship game. I think this is fascinating from a situational spot.
And Kentucky, I have not been a believer of them all season long, but at least when they started in the first half of the season, they were playing a whole bunch of cupcakes. Ball State, Akron, Vanderbilt. But then we've really got to see what are they made of now actually going up against actual competition with straight games against Georgia, Missouri, Tennessee, even though Joe Milton has faltered. Still a good team. Alabama, South Carolina. So now the level of competition has definitely ramped up for them. So those stats, those data points for Kentucky are going to be a little bit skewed based off of the opponents that they have faced in recent weeks. You got to look at the underdogs and for the reason why you said this is a situational spot and Kentucky probably looking undervalued based off of the competition as of late.
Yep. By the way, so let's go to the inverse of that, right? So I said, Louisville get ready for Florida State. The other dynamic is, what does the market think of the quarterback situation for Florida State? Shirka opens up Florida State as a 7-point favorite with a total of 50.5. Immediately goes down to four.
Wow.
So Florida State is a 4-point favorite on the road as we sit right now with that total currently sitting at that mark of 49.5. Remember, DraftKings earlier today was sitting just under 7 at 6.5. So there is some belief that this is a pretty big downgrade, and rightfully so. Jordan Travis is worth quite a bit, but I'd be very fascinated to see how this continues to go, because that is obviously a pretty big difference from what DraftKings was thinking. And these are the guys and gals who are coming in and betting this. So looked like there was a pretty big rush to jump on 7 with Florida, and now we're down to 4.
If you give me an opportunity to take Florida at a low number, maybe
Florida State.
Okay. We don't know how much lower this is going to drop. I would expect that honestly, there's a potential here that this line could drop to like 1-2, if not closer to a pick'em, because Jordan Travis, we know he was carted off the field. He went to the hospital with an injury. He had that hip drop injury that was the same as Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. So he's out. He's not coming back into the mix. Now, Graham Mertz, he exited with an injury, but there's a chance that he could still play this week. So you at least...
I thought it was a broken shoulder, clavicle or something like that. I thought he was done. So there's
he's
a
done.
Chance. I haven't seen that officially. I'm going with you, but continue your analysis. I'll get an official word.
I didn't see an official word. So I was question marks there, even though we did see the backup quarterback and Max Brown. I talked about him earlier in his first drive. He was absolutely stellar and he was a mobile quarterback. But this is still a tale of two defenses. This is Florida State's top 25 in EPA in every defensive metric. You can look at the competition, but they have done what they needed to. They shut out opponents multiple times through each and every game. They're shutting opponents out at least in one quarter. And Florida, they still have one of the most vulnerable defenses in college, which is why we've seen them in high scoring games.
Mertz, it is a broken collarbone, or officially non-displaced collarbone fracture. Likely to miss. And in fact, will probably not even be available should they make a bowl. So looks like you're going to go backup on backup here. And here's the thing, because we'll get to more of these too as we go along. But when it comes to this again, I'll go back to for Florida. You lost 33-31. This is the what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth consecutive game in which you've allowed over 30 points. This exactly. Florida defense has not been good.
Not good.
At all. So Florida State, given the weapons that they have, even on a backup quarterback, still could have some success here. So pretty fascinating to see the market. I get jumping on 7, but jumping this thing back down to all the way down to 4.
But also this is why the middle opportunity comes into play. When Florida opened plus 6.5 as an underdog on one site, and now another site is opening Florida down to 4, wait, maybe you can get both sides, try to middle.
Yeah, if you jumped on 7, which is some of these guys and gals today did, yeah, you can sit there and jump on 7 and then do something a little bit later in the week if it continues to drop. All right, we'll continue to roll through some of the opening numbers that we have for the last week of the regular season in college football. We'll tell you what Circa believes is going to happen, or at least what they open, Ohio State and Michigan, and what the total's doing, because it might be doing something you don't think it is. We'll discuss that and more when we come back here on College Lines Revealed.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can check out all the options at VSiN.com/subscribe. What you get, daily best bets. You get betting splits. You can see where the money and bets are moving for every single game over at DraftKings. And daily write-ups in multiple sports. How about the National Football League, college football, the NBA, college basketball, a lot. And of course, as we get closer and closer to the big events of the year, a Super Bowl betting guide, a March Madness betting guide. We do tons of stuff here. So check it out. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Introductory offer for only $19 gets you everything we have. Check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. We saw some interesting stuff happen with this Michigan Ohio State line, Pam, when it came to opening here at Circa. So the initial number that Circa decided to open up with here today was actually Michigan -5. Mm. We saw that get taken down to 4. Down to 3, then back up to -4. My screen right now has that Michigan -4 number with a total of 47.5. So the bottom out was at 3. Now we're back up to 4. So I think really the interesting question, this is why I asked Nick Bruner, who was with us earlier from DraftKings, this question. How do you rate home field for a team like Michigan? Because I think you can make the argument it's a very strong home field. And if you can make that argument that it's worth 3.5 to 4 points, you can make the argument that this number is telling us that Ohio State and Michigan are equals on a neutral. And if you're running with that premise, then you as a handicapper have to decide, is that premise true? Do you think that Michigan is better on a neutral than Ohio State? Because then there is logic potentially behind coming in and laying this number with Michigan if you deem Michigan to be the better team on a neutral. So if I think a lot of people look at four and immediately go, okay, well, home field three, and then boom, that means that Michigan's slightly better. I don't know if four necessarily means that. There's a shot that that could mean that these two teams are actually equals.
Yeah, this should be closer to a pick 'em neutral field. Yes. Michigan, I would say, has the stronger defense. And definitely you got to go with the Ohio State offense, even despite Kyle McCord and his shortcomings.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of... I can't say the title of the movie, but we've seen Zach and Miri make an adult film. And there's a great line where a guy comes in, he's really drunk. He comes into the coffee shop after a Steelers game and he says, huck it, chuck it, football. Like, that's exactly, I think that is the essential offense. Like, I think they just have that written down in the playbook for Ohio State. It's just huck it, chuck it, Marvin Harrison Jr. And I'm very fascinated because circa two, we're just sitting at 47.5. Usually you see totals move around a bunch. We're just sitting at 47.5. That's where it opened up. That's where we're at across the board. And I just go back to that game from last year and whether or not, because like you mentioned, right, last year, I would very much go back and watch that game, because that was not J.J. McCarthy performing at a high level. That was Michigan scheming up wide open touchdowns, massive plays. And I do wonder if you're going to be able to do that again here against Ohio State. And it's also just, I got to tell you, it's a little bit of zig when everybody's kind of zagging. I think everybody you talk to, and rightfully so, is going to look at a game like this and go, yeah, under. Like, why not? Look at these two teams. But when you look at a team like Ohio State, you've said it multiple times now, Ohio State is a team that, from a skill position standpoint, has a much higher upside because the explosiveness of Ekpuka, of Marvin Harrison Jr., of Travion Henderson, all of these guys, right? And so there is a reality in which Ohio State forces this game to become a little bit more wide open and a little bit more higher scoring than we expect because of their ability to be explosive themselves. And as much as he's not going to be there, Harbaugh did have a hand in scheming up those open plays. He will be there throughout the week to study this Ohio State defense. So I just do wonder if this is, we're automatically going to go, oh, under, of course. But is there a reality in which this actually is a higher scoring game than we expect it to be?
I would say yes, and only because Michigan has a much better offense than that of Penn State, which we have seen that matchup already come to fruition.
So he's competent.
So you can, you really, truly can take Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, put them in the same bucket defensively, and then roll with the offenses when you are rolling things. Penn State ended up staying under, but how much did Drew Aller have an effect of that? At least Kyle McCord, he's been tested multiple times. They have playmakers at several key positions that they can lean on in Henderson, in Harrison. There's just different options for him. And what we have seen, what we could see, this is why looking at the live number could be a really good betting opportunity. If this first quarter, Penn State, Michigan, that was 3-0. I expect very much the same, the exact same type of outcome. Maybe field goals, maybe an interception, turnovers. We're going to see Kyle McCord start sluggish like we have seen each and every game. You're proving to me who you are as an offense. Live line to bet the over, because these both offenses tend to go off as the games progress.
Next up in the Big Ten, Iowa at Nebraska. This opened up Iowa -2. We're down to pick. So Nebraska, and I think rightfully so, garnering some respect at home against the Hawkeyes. Total gets bet down from 29.5 to 28. But don't look now. Hawkeyes coming off of their highest scoring game since October 7th. they had a 34-point explosion against Purdue that night, and yesterday an explosion of 28 points. So I don't know. We're starting to see these scores really start to pick up for the Hawkeyes.
So I took Iowa on the money line yesterday, and they were down 13-9, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, God, this is a blowout. I was just really so scared that Iowa didn't have it in them offensively to get back into it, but they did. Caleb Johnson, he had a 30-yard touchdown run. That's probably one of the fewest explosive runs that Iowa had. Why this line is moving, and yes, Iowa has already clinched their spot in the Big Ten title game, but actually Nebraska, they had a quarterback change and he had his first start, and it's Brock Purdy's brother, Chuba Purdy. And he was a very good, efficient quarterback. He was mobile on the ground. He looked every bit as Brock Purdy as possible with a passing game, but he had that mobility factor to him. So you're going situational spot you were talking about earlier. Iowa already has a spot. They don't really need a win. Nebraska has a new quarterback change. They want to utilize it more. this total is interesting, 29.5. This would, again, be one of the lowest totals if it continues to stay at this number in college football history. I would still look, I already moved to 28. I would still look to the under. And as far as a side, I don't know. What's the interest level of Iowa to win this?
I mean, you're already locked in, like you mentioned, right, to the to the Big Ten championship game. You already had the emotional goodbye yesterday to Ferentz. So, like, there's that. Not entirely sure, to be honest with you, when you're looking at it. So I think it's outside of that. When you're looking at Nebraska, there's the motivation and a new coach. Because I have all the quarter of things. So I think you're probably just still fighting. But to put it to your point, if it's at a point where it's either out of hand, either way, whatever, but you're going to look to get ready for a conference championship game the next week. So that's why a lot of these games are pretty like fascinating situationally. Louisville's in the same spot. We already brought them up, Iowa, in a similar situation. All right, market respects. Could this be the penultimate game for Jed Fish as head coach of the Arizona Wildcats? I'm just saying, you know, Florida, he's got a Florida background, and the Gators might be looking to make a head coaching change in the offseason. Billy Napier making $7 million. How about that? Jed Fish could use that. He's only making about two over there at Arizona. Regardless, market loves what Fish is doing and loves him in this spot. Circa opened up Arizona 8 on the road against Arizona State in this rivalry spot. Already up to 12.5 now in favor of the Wildcats. And total's gone down from 53.5 to 51. I think that might like pique some interest. Like, hey, why would the total, why would the side move 4.5 points, but the total drop 2 points? Generally, when you see games like this, if you're winning by margin, if you're Arizona, you're holding down your opponent offensively. So it makes some sense, actually, that while the spread increases to this rate, the total would come down. So 12.5 now with a total of 51 for the Wildcats on the road.
I like Arizona. I love Arizona. I love watching this team. The Wildcats are actually the first team this season with 4 AP-ranked wins. Now that they're in the Big 12 next season with no Fafita, I'm already looking ahead to the futures. I can't wait for those lines to come out next year and see what kind of damage they can do. But this is the first 5-game win streak for them in 9 years. Still looking for the Pac-12 spot. They have a chance at that. So because of that, you got to believe that motivation is fully there. And what I love from watching him is he scored on the opening drive with a trick play. They are having fun out there on this offense. This is the best offense that they have had since bringing in Fafita behind center. They had a backward pass from Fafita, 21-yard tutty. It was fun. And so they're enjoying themselves. I like them to go ahead and cover, especially with Arizona coming off the rump.
Even with the line move from 8 to 12.5, you still think 12.5 is playable?
Would I actually get to the window with it? No, but I can't look to the Arizona State side.
Yeah, Arizona, of course, Arizona State. We talked about how plucky they'd been, but you run into a buzzsaw like Oregon. Might still be able to. We'll see what the number gets to here, because we're obviously climbing north. I don't think you'll get to 14, but crazier things have happened, and I'm sure that's going to be a point of resistance here for this game. Last 90 seconds or less, Clemson on the road against South Carolina. This thing opened us. Let's see. We got 6.5 currently on the screen with a total of 52. It did not open there, though. We're actually looking at an opener of Clemson -9 here at Circa.
Wow.
Got bet down all the way to under that touchdown. We're floating around that 6.5-7 mark right now with a total of 52. And again, Clemson, just a team that continues to operate at a somewhat decent level defensively, still really inconsistent on offense. But South Carolina, this offensive line against this front seven, I think could be a pretty big mismatch.
Clemson will have a field day. This Clemson defense handed Drake May, a Heisman candidate, first round potential draft pick, his lowest yards, lowest YPA, and his third most sacks that he's had this season with 4. Now, we can talk about the defense for Clemson. We do each and every week. Elite. But now they have such an efficient offense with running back Will Shipley. He is back. He really struggled early in the season most of the time. And now back-to-back games of 7 yards per carry. There's just nothing that South Carolina, as vulnerable of an offensive line that he has, as Spencer Rattler struggled against Missouri. Now you're going up against even a step-up class in defense. Clemson.
Alabama did open up as a 15-point favorite with a total of 47.5 over Auburn. That's up to 49 now. Wanted to mention that quickly. All right, when we come back, let's talk about some of the biggest line moves we've seen in this early portion of the day. And coming up in about 15, we're going to talk to Brian Edwards, professional handicapper.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, actually, wrong one. In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. back here on College Lines Revealed. Coming up in about 15 minutes, professional college football handicap. Brian Edwards is going to be with us to get his thoughts on the card that is. And Edwards is actually a very big Florida guy, so I'm going to throw my theory of at him of Jed Fish maybe coming home. But until we get there, let's do what we do every single time. The biggest line moves of the day and see where we are at and why we are going where we're going. Wake Forest and Syracuse kicks us off here. Wake opens up as a 3-point favorite. How about this line move? 5.5-point swing. They are now 2.5-point underdogs taking on the Syracuse Orange. Orange deciding to move on from Dino Babers, by the way, as well. So a coaching change for Syracuse. Houston, UCF. This opens up 9 in favor of UCF. We are up to 13.5. So market all over the Knights, and one that we discussed at length, Pam, Arizona laying 8 up to 12.5 here against Arizona State.
I love Arizona. What other option can you look at? Arizona State just got romped last week.
I mean, but they've also covered
the under, Arizona, because of that defense, has also been a good under team.
Yeah, Arizona State's been pretty good. I think you can. You don't have to sell Arizona State too short. I mean,
while they're
back at home, and on top of that, I would say too, a lot of times I think the betting market, that's a good example of it. We do this a lot in the last week of the NFL season. Motivation is one thing that doesn't mean that you're going to cover, right? Just because you got to win doesn't mean that you're going to cover.
Correct.
And we do this a lot because Arizona has something to play for and Arizona State doesn't. That, oh, hey, of course they're going to win and win by a large margin. Not always necessarily the case. And sometimes the market does overvalue those teams in those situations. So it's something to chew on as we move forward. Tulsa, East Carolina opens up Tulsa -1. They are now 3-point underdogs. So 4-point swing there. Miami, Florida, Boston College. The thought that maybe Miami, a lot of people think Miami quit. Miami -6 up to -9. I'm laughing because maybe there were some people who thought that Miami would open up as an underdog here in this spot. Not the case. They are still a very talented team, but market thinks that they're getting a little undervalued here. And they did show some fight last week up to -9 in favor of the Hurricanes on the road against Boston College. Ohio, Akron. Ohio opens up as a 17-point favorite, knocked down 3 points, now laying 14 against the Zips. Next up on the biggest line moves of the day, Toledo versus Central Michigan. Toledo opens up as a 10-point favorite. That gets bet up to -13. Navy and SMU. How about this? Navy getting a little bit of love here. Opened up as 23-point underdogs. Now sitting at 20. And Air Force Boise State, the one that I discussed, Pam, market. It's funny. You know, you saw the market kind of turn against Boise State a little bit at the beginning of last week. But Andy Avalos fired. And as we mentioned yesterday, pure vibes. I think a lot of people around that program really happy that he's gone. That showed yesterday against Utah State. And the market's all done with Air Force. This gets bet up from 4-7. And remember, Mountain West Championship implications still on the line for these teams. So a very big game, but not much love for the Air Force Falcons. Next up, Georgia versus Georgia Tech. 54.5 bet up to 60. Focusing on this game for a sec, I'll ask Caesar, I'll ask Pam, I'll use a line that was stole. I'll steal it from Deion Sanders. Do you believe Georgia? Come on, man. Are we starting to buy into this team? This offense is absolutely tremendous.
The offense is so good. There's really nothing that you can say about them. They're a cog. They're just like a well-oiled machine from every aspect. Carson Beck is good, and Brock Bowers is good. They're just all good. It is the best offense that we've seen from Georgia in recent years.
Watching Michigan yesterday scuffle around with Maryland, and we're all sitting here thinking that they're going to give Georgia a run for their money. Yeah, right. Western Kentucky, Florida International, 50.5, bet up to 55.5, a 5-point bump there if you can't do the simple math. Navy, SMU. A little bit of action toward Navy, a little bit of action on the under. 51.5, the opening number bet down to 47. So a little move toward the under there. Penn State, Michigan State, why wouldn't you? 46.5, the opening total, now down to 42.5. The status, too, I haven't seen an update here either. We did watch Drew Aller get dinged up in that game last week for the Nittany Lions. So what that's going to look like for Penn State as they move into this game against Michigan State. And also, do you just trust Penn State to win by margin, Pam, considering how bad this offense has looked, even with Aller out there?
What we saw without Aller, yes, very abysmal. We can't trust him. But what we did see them is they reverted to that run game heavily. They turned to the run game, 235 rushing yards. So they are capable, even though they keep putting it into the hands of Aller. But now he's no longer in the mix. Give me the underdog. Give me the under.
Well, we haven't seen him officially ruled out yet. So, yeah, it was going to say we haven't seen it officially ruled out. It was a show. I think it was a shoulder issue.
Nothing
or whatever it was.
Significant.
Yeah. So it looks like he'll be out there. But still, even they were pimping. I can't remember what broadcast it was, but they were showing his 20-1 touchdown interception ratio. I was like, all right, let's say there's a little bit of noise there.
Well, when you throw it 4 yards in front of you, I mean, it's very difficult to throw an interception. Correct. That close.
Oregon State, Oregon, 58.5. The opening total gets bet up to 62.5 there in the Civil War. And Wyoming, Nevada, one that I'm sure all of us will be watching. 37.5 the open gets bet up to 41 in that Mountain West matchup. Three more for you. Ohio versus Akron, 44.5 at the open gets bet down to 41. Colorado State versus Hawaii gets bet down from 58.5 down to 55. And Louisiana Monroe versus Louisiana Warhawks and the Raging Cajuns, 55.5 at the open gets bet down to 52. So those are our biggest moves, both side and total, as we have seen so far today. Circling back really quickly, because I do bring this up, let's go small picture and big picture. First off, we have a bunch of these teams that are locked in their championship games in the SEC. Well, Georgia and Alabama are those teams. These rivalry spots, I think that the Alabama-Auburn rivalry is a little bit more heated than what Georgia and Georgia Tech go through. But having said that, these are two teams. It's unlike what we were talking about with a team like Louisville, right, who doesn't really have much to play for and is only a touchdown favorite. These are powerhouses that don't really have much to play for, right, and are heavy favorites in their games. Do you go first half with these teams if you want something? Because these are just these have get in and get out written all over them, because we have much bigger fish to fry. We are getting ready for that team on the other side in Alabama, and then, of course, vice versa in Georgia.
That's a good point. Teams like Alabama, teams like Georgia, the ones that already have them locked up, yes, you can consider these teams on the first half spread or and on the back end, second half unders. Because you're expecting, let me sit down some players. We already saw it from Ohio State last week. They sat out in the entire fourth quarter. That could definitely come into play this week for multiple teams.
Yeah. Didn't really work out yesterday. Alabama decided to drop 28 on the unfortunate Mocs of Chattanooga in the second half. But at the very least in the first half, because you saw them build up, I think it was they were up by 38 to 7, somewhere around there, Alabama was in the first half. So this could be one of those things where you're trying to get in and get ready. So that's a small picture. Big picture. I ask, you know, in all seriousness, we watched Michigan do what they did yesterday, right? And as we talked, called it, it's not really that big of a call. Georgia is now your favorite to win the national championship. They're plus 240 over at DraftKings. Michigan is plus 260. Ohio State is plus 550. Oregon at 6-1. Alabama 650. Washington sitting there at 11-1. Very interesting. I'm coming around a little bit more on Washington. Maybe we can talk about that in a different show. But when you look at what we have seen now from Georgia over the last few weeks, with this offense really starting to get into gear, where are you at now, big picture wise, with the national championship? Now that we've seen a little bit more from a team that the market thought for the last 3 weeks was the best team in the country in Michigan, is Georgia the best team in the country?
Based off of resume, yes. We talked about.
I don't
about
care about resume. I'm talking about Pam Maldonado's
yes.
power ratings. Where do you have Georgia? And if it's not Georgia, who would you deem as the better team?
Okay, so by default, if we're looking at only the, I'm going to caveat this. If we're looking at only the top four, yes, Georgia is the best team. I'm still a big believer, though. That offense, super sick. It actually, I get excited watching Georgia offense, which is something that I have never said, I believe. I'm very still excited about Alabama. And I cannot wait for this matchup for the SEC title game. I believe that they have the better defense, which could come into play against a Georgia offense now. Based off of that, that's the best team in the country.
Georgia is up to a 5-point favorite in the SEC championship game.
I love Alabama, though. I really love their development that we've seen them struggle in the beginning. We don't know what quarterback we're going to use. All of a sudden, Jalen Milroe is like, he is a bomb quarterback, especially downfield. These are going to be two high-powered offenses. Don't make mistakes. Limit your turnovers. Who's going to have the better defense in the end when it counts? Give me points. Give me the over. This is a prop machine. This is a ladder matchup. I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't have a total that's up yet for that matchup. Just Georgia up to a 5-point favorite. And
we've seen Alabama shut the offenses down in the second half. They haven't faced
an offense like this.
That's the question. They haven't. Yep. This is the best offense they would have faced, but also this is the best defense that Georgia would have faced.
Best offense that Alabama's faced up to this point was probably Texas.
That was also in like the first game where that was still very early into the season. They were still trying to figure out the quarterback.
I'm being a little bit of a smartass. No, I understand. I think when you see, say again, 54.5 the total right now for the SEC championship game. So right around in that range, 54.5. That's a bettable over for you?
Or a first half over, because okay, we have seen the capabilities of Alabama defense stepping up and doing what it needs to in the second half.
You know, the more I have sat on this, and the more that I have sat here and tried to tell you guys every single week that you've been wrong about Georgia, that they're still a very good team, the more I've come back to the camp of...
what are you going to say?
Georgia's the side in the SEC championship
Georgia
game.
Is the side.
Carson Beck slinging it around. We'll have more on this. We'll have plenty to get to it on that, too, because they are both big favorites next week, and we'll have plenty of time to discuss that. When we come back, Brian Edwards, professional handicapper, is going to join us, get his thoughts on what the opening lines were and what he's going to bet in the last week of the regular season in college football.
This is College Lines Revealed on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're always debating what a team needs to get to number one, but Zen Nicotine Pouch is already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zen at your local convenience store or online at Zen.com, Z-Y-N.com. Warning, product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. Wrapping it up here on College Lines Revealed, I'm Jonathan Von Tobel, Pamela Maldonado alongside as well. Let's talk to professional handicapper Brian Edwards. Nice enough to give us some time. Brian, we'll pick that Florida brain of yours. Not the Gators really quick, but you want to, of course, go to the big news. Jordan Travis, more than likely done for the rest of the season. A very ugly-looking injury yesterday for the Seminoles. So what does this do? What is the difference between Jordan Travis and their backup? What does it do for Florida State's power rating in the grand scheme of things now that Travis is not going to be available?
I mean, I think you've got to, think of Travis as at least a 5-point difference, maybe even six. Now, Rodemaker did get some playing time and actually came through in the clutch in the fourth quarter of, I believe it was a Thursday or Friday night game last year, and rallied them past Louisville when Jordan Travis got hurt. But, hadn't played really at all this year until last night, except for, garbage duty. So, but then Graham Mertz also gets the season-ending injury last night. But I thought Max Brown looked pretty good. He's an athletic guy, and he showed that with 42 rushing yards on 7 attempts, completed 4 of 5 passes, 56 yards, got him, the go-ahead drive to take the lead with less than 2 minutes left. But I still think FSU should be at least 7, and I was a little surprised to see it in the 5.5, 6.5 range.
Okay, so that was going to be my next question, because we saw Circa open 7, got to as low as 4, actually, before climbing its way back up to this 6.5-point range. So currently sitting at 6.5 in multiple spots, you would say that that's the fair number here for Florida State against Florida?
Yeah, I think 7 is the right number.
Okay.
And, wild that we're going to have backup quarterbacks in this game.
Yep.
Let's look at the bigger teams. Alabama 15 on the road to Auburn. Georgia double digits on the
bigger
road to Georgia Tech.
Florida State's a top 14.
They're bigger teams. We have the big matchup next week, the SEC title game. How do you attack these games? Maybe are you looking at them in the first half, or do you still consider them full game options?
Okay, so with the way Auburn looked last night, and they had been playing well for good 3 or 4 weeks, what did you say you guys are seeing on Alabama right now?
15 on the road to Auburn.
Yeah. I mean, I made it 14 just because of the rivalry. I mean, even when Auburn was awful in Harsin's first year, 2 years ago, and Alabama was really, really good with, the Heisman winner, Bryce Young, Auburn, Tank Bigsby doesn't, if he stays in bounds, they win that game outright. So you just never know what's going to happen on the plains. And for that reason, I couldn't go any higher than 14. But I mean, I don't know how you can be that confident in Auburn when they get beat by 3 touchdowns by a G5 school last night.
So there's all these teams that are kind of in these situations, Brian. We mentioned Alabama and Georgia. I think it's an interesting dynamic to look at a team like Louisville, right? They're locked into the ACC championship game, but they're not big favorites over Kentucky. That's obviously a big opportunity for Jeff Brohm, though, to potentially win an ACC championship, and especially against a Florida State team that is now on their backup. So how does Louisville handle their game here against Kentucky? Because I could totally see a week where, all right, let's we're going to play this game, obviously, but next week is way more important.
It is, but I mean, when you're on with these in-state rivalries, you're on a 4-year losing streak, and most of those were blowouts. I don't see a look ahead being in the cards for Louisville because, this is their chief rival, and they've been beating the mess out of them for 4 years in a row. So I think Louisville's very fired up in this game, and I lean to them. What are we seeing, 7?
Yep, 7.
Yeah, I lean Louisville's way. Finding a way to get a road win yesterday was not easy, and now I'll come back home and get to end this losing streak to UK.
It appears that the market is entirely out on Air Force, who looked unstoppable for most of the season. Three straight losses, Boise State coming off a complete romping yesterday, laying 7 at home. Is there any buy low opportunity here for Air Force?
I can't do it. They've just looked like a totally different team in the last 3 weeks, and what a year for UNLV and a comeback last night. No, I would actually lean to Boise there. I'm not saying I'll be involved in that game, but I can't play Air Force right now.
Brian Edwards with us, professional handicapper, Vegas Insider. All right, Brian, let's go to the big one that everybody's going to have their eye on. Not Ohio-Akron. I know you want to break that one down. But we'll go to Ohio State and Michigan. We're looking at Ohio State catching 4 on the road here against Michigan. What'd you make the number?
I made Michigan 5. I feel like it's been in the 5.5 to 6.5 range and most of the look-ahead lines in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. It's a game that I don't think I want anything to do with. I might bet it live, if either team gets off to a good start and get some good value from the original line, but I don't know that I'll have anything pre-flop on this one.
How about Arizona? We've seen them as double-digit favorites just once this season, covering as double-digit dogs. They didn't cover as that favorite. Still alive for the Pac-12 spot now. The line opened at 8, up to 13 on the road to Arizona State. Do you make anything of this matchup? Should we be backing the Wildcats?
I made Arizona 14.5. ASU has been kind of feisty at times this year, but it's undoubtedly Arizona or Pat, and I'm sure I will be on Arizona. They're just absolutely on fire right now.
Next week, we also have, of course, the Civil War on Friday, Oregon and Oregon State. Again, these are all rivalries. They're big rivalries. Oregon's still fighting for a spot in the Pac-12 because Arizona is still alive as well. So they lose this game, they're out. What do you make of this Civil War spot with Oregon laying 14 now in the market? Is that too much, or is that right where you made it?
Yeah, that's right where I made it at 14. I had a downgrade to Oregon State just a touch after last night. They're 17-1 straight up and ATS streak at home. Being ended. And I just don't, I would be interested in Oregon State catching 2 touchdowns anywhere except for Alston or Athens or Bryant Denny. I cannot go against Oregon at home right now. They are playing lights out. And I think they'll win the rematch with Washington after they take care of business against Oregon State next week.
Was there a specific game you were looking for? Like you were like, all right, I think my numbers have changed here a little bit. I've made an adjustment. I can't wait to see what the market's going to make this game. Was there any game like that for you?
Yeah, I thought that maybe Missouri would be downgraded a little bit after having a rough time getting past Florida. And I think they were. And I think that number is a lot smaller than it should be. And I'm going to be on Missouri at Arkansas.
Yeah, Missouri, a 7-point favorite, Pam, total of 56.
And how are you grading LSU? How are you grading?
I'm just going to say I doubt it'll be at 7 much longer. I think it'll go north of 7. My apologies.
How are you grading LSU now with Jaden Daniels clearly in the mix and really vying to try to get that Heisman spot? What do you make of this? It's 11.5 on the road, and the over is still that an option?
Yeah, no. Anytime it's an LSU game, the over is always an option, and it saw its 14-0 streak end last night. But what I've been doing lately is I've been hitting some player props for LSU. I had Neighbors and Brian Thomas's receiving yards to go over last night. I think Neighbors was 108.5. He had 140, and Thomas was 79.5. He got 70 on his first catch. And I had Jaden Daniels over 68.5 rushing yards. I think if you see a rushing prop on Jaden Daniels, anything less than 80, I would play that over. And I'd probably go over all the way up to about 110 or so on Neighbors, and probably 80-ish on Thomas as well. Just anything, team total over for LSU or team total in the first half over, they've been hitting often a lot this year.
Brian Edwards with us. All right, Brian, we'll get you out of here on this. Another Florida school, Miami, on the road against Boston College. What do you make of the Hurricanes? And they have anything left to fight for? I thought it was a really good effort against Louisville. I bet them to win that game. They ultimately fell short, but it looks like at the very least, with Tyler Van Dyke out there, they looked a little bit better than what we expected.
Yeah, I thought they fought hard yesterday. And I'm scrolling the board. I made Miami 8.5. What do you guys
think? It's right on there. It's 8.5, 9 right now.
Yeah. BC, you know, is overachieved this year, but a couple of lackluster performances the last 2 weeks. So I think Miami probably goes in there and wins by 2 touchdowns. I would lean Miami in that one.
Ryan, it's good to talk to you. We're up against it, but we appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, all y'all, and ladies, y'all have a good one.
Yep, you got it, man. Appreciate it. Brian Edwards again, college football handicapper over at Vegas Insider. All right, same question we close with every time. What sticks out to you on the board?
Didn't work out last week back in Colorado. Shedeur Sanders left the game from injury, but I am going back to the whale with what has been making me money each and every week, Ohio State against Michigan, first quarter under 9.5 and or 10.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I don't really have anything strong looking at the board overall today. Nothing has really stuck out as much as the last few weeks. Maybe that's a sign of the board getting a little tight. Mm. Or maybe I'm a chicken and I don't really have anything. You know what?
Do it. What you got?
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go against. All right, I'll
don't
do
be
it.
A chicken.
Ohio State, Michigan over. Let's do it, baby. That's it. We're done. Live Bet Sunday coming at you next.
You do that.